change. BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Monday morning. And it'll feel weird to have a full week back here now after the last few weeks with holiday breaks in the middle. But we'll be here for you for the full week. And, of course, remember now that the Howie Carr Show has changed its hours. So because the Howie Carr Show is on from 2 to 6, we're picking it up at 3, so you're hearing from 3 to 6 of the Howie Carr Show. And then from 6 to 7, we're running a Best of Howie Carr hour. But our programming genius extraordinaire, Jason Kent, returns today from his holiday vacation. And I'm going to see if it isn't possible that we can't record that first hour of Howie and air that back from 6 to 7. So no promises, but that's my plan to bother Jason about today is like, hey, how can we make that happen? So might take a couple of days to get it working, but we'll see if that's possible. But we wanted to make sure that we carried Howie live for as much as we can so that you can still call into the Howie Carr Show. And I heard Sketty call in the other day. So I know that a lot of you are calling into the Howie Carr Show. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in to me. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, birthday boy.
How are you?
Not too bad. I'm happy you had a good birthday.
Yeah, nice.
Fun.
Nice and relaxed, nice and calm. Fun day.
That's good. I got a lot of things bothering me today. Like, let's see. I don't even want to watch the news anymore. What's going on with this thing with President Carter? Dragging that body, buried the guy. How many days has he been dead already? And now they want to wait another week? Is that the way it's going?
Well, I mean, this isn't uncommon. This is what they usually do when a dignitary passes away. They lie in repose.
Come on, bury the guy. This is stupid. It's stupid. The body's rotting over there. Yeah, now you're going to say, well, they have them all embalmed. Just bury the man. I think this is outrageous to do this to people, president or not. And the queen, too. They dragged her around for a while. Remember that?
Yeah, well, when Lincoln passed away, they put him on a train and had him go across the entire country.
Oh, that story.
Well,
I saw that
most of the country.
And him and his wife. That was a story. Did you see the whole thing?
I wasn't there, no.
No, I know.
I know. Documentary.
Yeah, I know. Well, I had a rotten thing happen the other day when I was taking my walk outside the building here. I found a dead, I don't know what kind of bird. It could have been one of the seagulls that come here. But his whole body was missing. The head, the beak, all the insides, even his feet were gone. The whole middle of his body and all that was left were the wings on the ground. Both sides, right where they would normally be on his body, on each side, laying in the grass. And it must have happened minutes before I came upon it because the blood wasn't even dry. It was all wet and you could see it. So I'm thinking first thought the hawks, there's a lot of hawks around here. There's coyotes too. But the thing is, wouldn't they, if it was a hawk, wouldn't he come down and get it and take off and eat it somewhere else? Would he take a chance right here on the ground, so close to the highway, cars going by, people walking around outside? I eat it right there.
Well, my first question is, does Ozzy Osbourne have an alibi? Do we know where he was?
Oh, man.
Did he just bite the head off of it? No.
I saw that when it happened.
The other possibility is it something that could have happened in the air and it came down? You know, so maybe there was like a bird battle in the air and its head was bit off in the air and then it fell to the ground.
It wouldn't be that clean. Everything was gone. You could just see barely a few bones of the ribs left I'm this looked like a surgery is what it looked like. Mm-hmm. And it may, I don't know, it's something screwy with that, and it's never happened before. We do have a lot of birds coming down because we get the dumpster. That's another thing. I've complained about the dumpsters, that they should find a way or a better place to keep the dumpsters away from the building. I've seen rats out there. We've got bunny rabbits running around. We got the Canadian ducks that come. They don't get over on our side of the fence, but they're on Route 18 in the garage. If I'm looking out the window, I see the whole family. They're all there. But the dumpsters here are too close to the building. I don't like it. In the summer, when people throw fish out there and all the seagulls are coming because they can smell it from over the bridge over there, and they come here, it's a nasty smell. And in the summer, you know, you like to open your windows. I'm sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it. That's another thing about the bridge, too. They're supposed to be working on that pretty soon, and I have to go, if I want to go to the Fairhaven Walmart or somewhere in Fairhaven, I got to go all the way to the north end and all the way up Cogswell Street, take a right all the way down. That's burning up a lot of my gas. So now I'm going to have to make a new program. I got to write everything down. How many times am I going to go to Walmart in 1 week? Do I have to go? Make sure you got a big list so you don't go for just two things. I hate the thought that I'm not going to be able to go over there willy-nilly anytime I feel like it now. When are they supposed to start? Next year?
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought I heard something the other day. The end of 2025?
Well, we'll see.
It would begin and from my window, I can see. I mean, if they're going to be taking that apart, I'll be able to witness that stuff.
I guess it's going to, as soon as the other one's ready, that one goes. But what do you...
So the other one... You mean when the other one's ready, it's going to be built and they're just going to bring it here and put it there?
I have no idea how it's going to work out. I have no idea what the plan is. I think what happens is, from what I can gather, is you're going to deal with 2 years of not having anything there.
That's a long time.
I think that's what I'm trying to find the story where it said it, but I think that's what it said was for 2 years that will not be a usable passageway.
So why can't they build the new bridge?
So that
maybe just a, no. I mean, I don't. I don't build bridges. So I don't know. I'm just thinking. Why can't they build a bridge just maybe 200 feet away? Leave that one up while they're building the other one in a little different spot, something like that.
Well, That's what they're going to do with the Cape Cod bridges. They're going to build those next to the existing ones so that they don't not have a bridge for any period of time. But I don't think you can do that in the space that you have for that bridge.
Well, that's too bad because we got a lot of water out there. I mean, it's right. There's plenty of places out there. As long as you don't get too close to that little island over there. I keep forgetting the name of that little island. They keep selling it all the time. People buy it and they don't keep it.
Well, anyway, I mean...
That a man-made island or what? I got to look that up now.
If you own an island and, you know, it sounds like a great idea, but maybe after a while you get sick of living on an island and you say, I want to put it up for sale.
Well, don't be so dumb enough to buy it then.
There's an island in Onset Bay that people were talking about for years. Oh, they should bring this back and put a hotel back on it. It's like, who wants to be on an island and stuck on an island and looking at the mainland and being like, if only we could get over there, but we got to take a boat.
So. I'm going to miss that bridge when they shut it down because I go to Fairhaven a lot and that'll poison all the way down Wareham even. So,
I think they said 2 years, but I couldn't find the story, but I think it's 2 years.
Yeah. I thought I saw the beginning stages of it was supposed to be the end of 2025. I could be wrong. I thought I saw that.
I think that they are still, they're still in the design phase now. So I think it would be 2027 that it was supposed to be starting to be built in 2030 that it would be completed by, I think. But don't quote me on that.
2030?
Yeah.
So they're going to start in 2027 and that means 3 years without the bridge?
Well, three years for the total completion of all the work. So I think it was 2 years without the bridge.
I may not live that long.
You'll still be
here.
I
need to get to Fairhaven. I need to go that way lots and lots of times. It's not fair.
Well, we still have 195.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not too crazy about the highways anymore. I still use Route 18, Route 6 State Road, all that, but not usually anymore. Not like I used to.
Well, maybe we can get a ferry that'll just bring you across.
Oh, thank you very much. Now I'll be waiting for that, Mr. Weisberg.
We'll see if we can pull that off.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, you have a great day.
You too. Bye bye.
508-996-0500. Yeah, I'll pull up the details and find out the exact specifics. But, of course, it's also going to change as well, too, as the process goes on. You know, those target dates will always shift around and move. But you're going to deal with a period of time where you won't have a bridge at all. I think there's not enough space there to build one while still allowing the other to be functional. And there's going to be improvements that need to be made to the, or changes that need to be made to the approach on either side, grading and things like that. So you're going to see, you know, a significant period of time where you won't have any access to that area, which is what has the businesses concerned that are there. How far back will that shutdown go? Will people be able to get to Fathoms? Will people be able to get to, I mean, could it go all the way back, you know, to the playground, to the Duncan and Purchase Street Records Plaza? How far will it go the other way? So we saw the concept designs. But what's the period of time going to be to make the roads what they needed to be for that? And I think that design also has, you know, less of a need for work to be done to those spots. So if there was a different style of bridge there, you might need more of a ramp up to the bridge, which would require bypassing some of those businesses. But because it's a vertical lift bridge, you don't need that. You can put it right in those spots. I heard Scott Langan with Chris saying that he still thinks it's the wrong design, that it should be a drawbridge. But I think a drawbridge would need more of an approach. I don't know that for a fact, but as a guess, a drawbridge would be too low. From my understanding, this is going to be at a height where a number of vessels can pass underneath it without it having to go up. And that when vessels do come through, it has two different heights for opening. So it might not have to go all the way up for every vessel that has to pass through. But again, we are looking at years before this is completed. But it is happening. Now, the whole schedule for it might get slowed down a bit because, as you heard us talking about, Mayor Mitchell is saying that the design is, you know, he wants something that's a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. So they just presented this design, and rather than now moving forward from there, because it is the public feedback period, so they're taking this all into account anyway as part of the schedule, but will it slow things down now to have to say, well, now we've got to redesign it because we need to have something that's a little bit more aesthetically pleasing? But the bottom line is you're still looking at a good 5 years before this whole project is completed. But in 5 years, you'll have a new bridge. You'll have a new pedestrian bridge. You'll have South Coast Rail. We'll have what'll probably be, you know, a bustling waterfront there, with whether or not you think offshore wind is the future or not, but they're going to have more industry happening down there. The waterfront of New Bedford and that general area will look a lot different within the next 5 years. And when you say, well, yeah, that's a long way away, think about this. 5 years ago this time, we were starting to hear about a thing called COVID-19. So 5 years isn't as nearly as long as you think that it is. As Steve Miller told us, time keeps on slipping into the future. More accurately, he said, time keeps on slipping into the future. But we are on the cusp of some major changes. And as such, we've got to be prepared for the inconveniences that will come with those changes, like not having that bridge for a couple of years as this construction is happening. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, how backed up will Cogswell Street be? How backed up will some of the other side streets be? What will the traffic be like on 195? Already we get this traffic backup every day now that I still can't put my finger on. You know, I thought it was because of road work being done. Like at the 140 interchange there, there's been some road work that's been going on. I thought that was what was slowing traffic down. And I don't know what it is. I think just every day at that time, we get a traffic backup. 195 heading west from Fairhaven to about the 140 exit. I thought at one point that it might have been because of the solar glare that happens. No, it's just you get to the end of the traffic and you say, what was it? What was holding this up? And so that will probably get worse. But it'll be something that you have to endure for a short period of time for the long-term benefit of having a new bridge. A bridge that'll be faster, that will be more reliable, and that will better serve what the future of the waterfront will be. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. And if you're going to have one hit for your entire musical career, I guess that's the one hit to have, right? Great song by the New Radicals, who, you know, were never really meant to be a band anyway, but it was a great, great album and certainly a great song. You know who was in that band? Danielle Brisbois, who, you probably know as Little Stephanie on Archie Bunker's Place. She was part of that band. Just like there's the band The Rentals, which was a side project of one of the members of Weezer, Matt Sharp. And one of the members of that band was future SNL star Maya Rudolph. Maybe we'll play some Rentals before the end of the show. So 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in, we're talking about a variety of topics this morning, but of course, tonight is the city council's organizational meeting where the council will meet to elect the new council president for 2025. And as you've heard Chris talking about, it is now going to come down to Councilor at Large Shane Burgo and Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver. That Shane Burgo was believed to be the person who was going to be elected, and then some councilors took issue with that and so have put forth Councilor Oliver. And either one of them, I think, will make a great president, but I think that we've heard a lot of overblown, what I call the Burgo boogeymen, reasons why you should be afraid of a Shane Burgo council presidency that I think are just being over-exaggerated. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
On the days that the station's closed down and you have the the replays of Howie Kosho, why is it that the station can't replay the individual celebrities from, like you, Barry's show, Chris's show, like a repeat of that?
Because somebody would have to take all that and program it in and schedule it all out, and nobody here has the time to do that.
Oh, I thought they were like going to record a tape and maybe just like put it in like in your slot, one of your shows would show up. We were talking about that the other day because, I mean, a repeat's a repeat, but at least we could hear something, of you. It brings it more into like the feel of being there.
More local. But the catch with it is, while, it's easy to get the recordings of the show, the problem is the commercial lengths change every single day and every single show, every single hour. So in order to program it, you got to find the time that fits in with the commercials that are scheduled for that hour. So it'd be like it's a puzzle that's not always easy to put together.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, that I wasn't, because I didn't know how it actually played out and how it was done. We had just been talking about that. Oh, well, all right. You've answered my question once again.
All right.
Have a great day.
Glad I could help. You as well. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be able to do that. I just would, there'd have to be somebody that has the time to do that, and we unfortunately don't have somebody. Because, some days, as you know, we have quick breaks. Some days we have long breaks. That's all decided by our traffic department. They're the ones who schedule all the commercials based on, what the contracts say, what the expectations are. They know all the ins and outs of when certain commercials should run and, who's advertising during what shows and all that stuff. So they figure all that out. And so the commercial breaks change from show to show. So if I'm doing this show today and I talk for 42 minutes and there's 28 minutes worth of commercials, right? Does that work mathematically? No, 18 minutes. 18 minutes worth of commercials. Well, then time that I go to program this show in, there might only be 4 minutes of commercials. And now what do I do for that other, 14 minutes? So that's where it becomes kind of tricky. And the reason why we can, plug in a best of Howie Carr is because those are always, because Howie's a show that is syndicated. We carry it live, but he's syndicated to multiple stations. They follow a hard clock. So they actually follow a clock where they know every segment when they come back, they've got this much time because then they're going to take a break for this long. So it's easy to plug those segments in because they're all of a set time. And it makes it easier to figure out how to fill the rest of it. Whereas we work on a soft clock where we don't have to take a break at a certain time. And the break doesn't have to be a certain length. So it gives us a lot more freedom to talk to you, but it makes it a lot harder to replay it later on. But ideally, I would have loved to have been able to just replay some of the best stuff during the day. But it just becomes too much work. And then even if you had somebody here that could put all that together and get it in there and get through, like, how do they know what the best stuff is? They'd have to be listening all day long to know what to pull out. So anyway, 508-996-0500. See, I don't really kind of gatekeep the the secrets of how things run here. I'm happy to share with you, you know, what I can. In fact, I had somebody that was reaching out to me the other day and said, why does the station keep cutting out? And I said, well, because it's windy. And we use a satellite dish to pull in the broadcast, and so the wind can disrupt that. Well, how come it doesn't happen when you guys are on? Well, because we don't use the satellite for us. When we're on, we're using the studio microphone and the studio computer to run everything. So I'm happy to teach you what I've learned and give you as much as I can. Some of it is proprietary corporate secrets I can share, but I can certainly tell you how it all works, because I'm learning a lot of it as I go too. 508-996-0500. So getting back to the city council presidency tonight, as I was saying earlier this morning, what is the actual chances that in the next 359 days, John Mitchell is going somewhere? That he is leaving the city? That he is resigning his position? Not very likely. So this council presidency is only for 1 year. You don't have to worry about this council president becoming, I mean, unless obviously something tragic happens. But in which case, you only have an interim council president. You know, the council president only becomes the interim mayor until an election can be held. That's the way that the charter is currently constituted. And it would probably take about 45 to 90 days, I think, to put on an election. That's what we're talking about here. This very unlikely scenario that is already very unlikely to happen. So let's take a call here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. I sent you a question the other day, since you're talking about how the station runs, and I was confused. I'm in Florida, and I listen on the app like I am right now. But every Sunday, you know, you hear the pregame's going to be on at 10 o'clock, and the game will be on the station at 1 o'clock. But down here on the app, I don't get it. All of a sudden, I get some talk, mumble, jumble, rerun. Is it different down here because I'm on the app?
It has nothing to do with where you are, but it does have to do with being on the app. The app and the stream are the same feed, and the NFL broadcast rules prohibit us from being able to carry the game on the stream or on the app.
Oh, okay, so if I was local, I'd get it.
If you were local, you would only be able to hear it on the radio. You still wouldn't get it on the app.
Got it. Okay. I was confused because you hear the coming in. You know, it says at 10 o'clock pregame, 1 o'clock the game. And then every time I do it, I'm like, it's not there. Okay. At least I understand it now. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah. The NFL, I guess they do their own streaming of the game. So they don't allow it to go over there.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks again.
All right. You have a good day. And that's something that I guess in the old days of when this all kind of first started, you know, that was a little bit of a different scenario. That stations were letting the streams go out, letting the games go out over the stream. And it was great for people who lived in other parts of the country because they could tune in and catch a Patriots broadcast somewhere else, or, you know, Celtics or Red Sox or whatever. But then the leagues all got smart and realized, like, wait a minute, we charge a premium, we charge extra for people to be able to watch these games in other markets. We should be doing the same thing for the audio version as well. And so they started instituting all these rules where you couldn't broadcast a game over the stream, over the internet, and you have to sign up for their service for it. And you know what's funny is that actually extends to even, you know, into the college sports realm and into local sports as well, like high school sports. The MIAA was operating on that for a while. I think things have changed a little bit. But, you know, they'll let one radio station broadcast. So, as you know, our competition will broadcast games. But if we want to go and broadcast a game, you know, they might not let us. They're getting very restrictive about it. Whereas in the old days, they would be like, yeah, everybody that wants to cover it can come and cover it. But now it's getting competitive. Why? Well, because, yes, they have these deals that in these agreements with a station, but then they also have their own stream that they want people to go. These partners that they partner with digitally that they want people to go to. And we talked about, I remember talking about this when, you know, streaming first became a thing. I'm talking with other sports writers at the Standard Times, like, we should start a business where we just go out and we stream these games. And this is before anybody had launched anything similar, but, you know, we didn't have the money to invest to buy all the equipment that was needed. But that's what it all boils down to. It all boils down to they want to control the broadcast and they want to make sure that they're getting the money for it. So if you live in Florida and you want to hear the Patriots, they know that they will get you to subscribe to the NFL broadcast rather than listen to it on the WBSM app, which is why we broadcast our regular programming, what you would normally hear on the radio, on the app during the games. But you don't have to worry about that now because Patriots season is over. It is over for sure. And it's over for Gerard Mayo, at least in New England. And I'll be interested to see. I don't think anybody else is going to pick him up and hire him as a head coach. I think he's going to have to go and spend some time as a coordinator. And I'm sure someone will want to pick him up in a coordinator role. But he's going to have to, or maybe he goes to a college job and is a head coach in college for a while. But I think he was in over his head. I don't think they gave him the right pieces anyway to succeed. But somewhere along the lines, I think things went sour with the Crafts. And it might have just been yesterday's game that did it. But the quickness with, you know, how quick he was fired and how quick the statement came out and the content of the statement makes me think that this was something that was already planned. And that Gerard Mayo knew going into the game yesterday that that was his final game as the Patriots head coach. And I'm sure Robert and Jonathan said something along the lines of, you know, it would really be beneficial to us if we lost this game. And Gerard Mayo said, yeah, but you know what? I don't play to lose. I play to win. And he said as much in the post-game press conference, and that's what they did. And they may have set the Patriots back years with that one victory. Because now that could have been, that number one pick would have certainly been traded for multiple picks that would have fulfilled multiple positions of need that now they will have to do slowly over the course of many drafts or hope to get lucky in you know, later rounds. But this is a team that is not one or two pieces away from being a playoff team. This is a team that is many pieces away. And they had the chance to get some of those pieces, or at least the potential to have some of those pieces this spring. And being able to get them, you know, maybe it takes a year or two for it to all come together. But now it could be, you could be looking at 5 years before the Patriots make the playoffs again. Or at least are considered a serious contender if they do make the playoffs. Because they play in the AFC East and you have teams that tend to be hapless at times. You might sneak into the playoffs now and then. But to be a serious consideration for a championship or at least for a deep playoff run, yeah, you could be years away from that now. Let's hope not. But that's the reality of the situation. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. Secret pain. You know you don't belong. You're the first to fight. You're way too loud. You're the flash of light on a burial shroud. I know something's wrong. Well, everyone I know has got a reason to say, put the past away. right, welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat is still open on the WBSM app if you want to send in one of those as well. Stay tuned for our South Coast Now and Chris McCarthy. I'm sure Chris will have a lot to say about the upcoming vote tonight of the city council for the city council presidency. He can share with you more of those Burgo boogeymen and why he thinks you shouldn't vote for Shane Burgo. But Shane Burgo will be here tomorrow at 8 a.m. either way. Whether he wins or loses, he'll be here tomorrow to take your calls and answer some questions. But we will also have later on this week, if everything works out today, because, you know, I'm just going to break down the fourth wall and tell you we're pre-recording an interview today because probably it'll air Wednesday. And then by then my voice will have cleared out and then people say, well, you sound sick again. We're going to pre-record today an interview with Teresa Caputo, the Long Island Medium. She's coming to Massachusetts, and she's going to talk with us about what you can expect at her shows and a little bit about what she does. So working on making sure that that happens today, and then we will play that for you probably on Wednesday because we're going to have Councilor Burgo in here tomorrow, and the show is still coming up a couple of weeks from now. And we've also got some tickets we're going to be giving away soon for another show that's coming to the area, a comedy show that is coming up at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Providence. We're going to be giving away tickets soon to see Sarah Silverman. So you're going to want to stay tuned to WBSM.com and the WBSM app for that. And of course, Tim's Tickets on WBSM is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They make it so that we can give away tickets to things all throughout the course of the year. And the Vets has a lot of great stuff going on. Great comedy shows happening over there, and it's a excellent facility for stand-up comedy because no matter where you are, there isn't a bad seat in the house. The sound system is great, and it really does lend itself to an intimate feel. So you're in a nice, ornate theater, but you never feel like you're too far from the stage. And I'm sure Sarah Silverman, of course, is not everybody's cup of tea. She's a little bawdy for some folks. But I think she's hilarious. I've been a fan of hers since the 90s going back. I remember she was on SNL for a while, but I remember her on Greg the Bunny. Lots of little small roles she had over the years. And then, of course, the Sarah Silverman program became a big hit on Comedy Central. And she was Jimmy Kimmel's significant other for a number of years and was involved in a lot of stuff with him, including the ongoing feud with Matt Damon. For those of you who are familiar with Jimmy Kimmel's program, you know that he always would end the show saying, and our apologies to Matt Damon for having to bump him. And then she got involved in that whole thing as well. So good fun time. And it should be a fun stand-up show. And again, the Vet is bringing in some big stars over at the Vet. So we'll continue to let you know about all of those shows as they happen. All right, I got to take one final break before the end of the program. We will be right back. All right, that's going to do it for me for today. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now. Then we'll have Bill O'Reilly at noon. After that, Barry Richard at 12:15. You'll have Barry until 3, and then we'll pick up the Howie Carr Show in progress. You'll have Howie live from 3 to 6, and then you'll have a Best of Howie Hour from 6 to 7. As I mentioned, Jason Kent should be back today, so I'm going to pick his brain and see if there isn't a way that we can't pick up that first hour. Actually, he's a